chapter 15. John chapter 15. Let's go there. John 15. You can be seated here in a moment. John 15. I love the decor. I love the season change. Really, this is all your first lady. Give her a big hand. She changed the whole thing, everything you see. That's all Lady Brian, her vision, her idea. Not only that, but she put the work in behind it with her own hands and feet. Amen. She's up on a lift hanging stuff. Amen. John chapter 15. Did I tell you? Verse 5. John 15 and 5. Let's read what I believe the Lord has for us this morning. John chapter 15, verse 5 reads as follows. Jesus speaking. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I like that right there. Jesus didn't even mince words. He just says straight up, without me, you can do nothing. And really what he's talking about, because I know some people say, I can do some stuff. I can eat chitlins without Jesus. You can. What he's talking about is you can't do nothing that will last. Just in context of what he's talking about. You can't do nothing that's going to last. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, key verse. These things I have spoken to you. He said, I said all this stuff prior for this reason right here. These things I have spoken to you about abide in me, stay in me. All these things, stay connected to me. These things I have spoken to you. Here it is. That my joy, everybody say joy. That my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And make sure you catch this before we move on. He says in verse 11, everything you just heard me say, all this abide in me is for one reason. I say these things to you, that my joy may remain in you. Father, we thank you for your words this morning. Father, I pray that you bless the words that are in your people's ear this morning, God, in their spirit. God, anoint every word coming off my mouth and every word that's going to come through my spirit. God, saturate the atmosphere to do whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, in this place. We thank you that let the joy of your people arise and the strength of their spirit arise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. I want to talk this morning on the subject of the importance of joy. Look at your neighbor and say, joy is important. Look at your other neighbor and say, joy is important. As we're closing out this year, it was interesting. I was looking at something that really stirred this message as the Holy Spirit brought it to me. And it wasn't necessarily which was interesting, this was not necessarily the decor of what's in the church that stirred it, but something I read where it was talking about in this season that we're approaching and that we're in, what they call holiday season. It was talking about how many people, the depression rate goes up. It talked about how the depression rate and the even suicide rate goes up in this season. And I thought about that for a moment, and I began to just listen to the Holy Spirit minister to me, and there's a natural part of me that says I understand that. There's a natural part of me that says I totally get that from a natural standpoint, where in this season of Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving, which is a season of gathering together with people, it is a season of where I want to have enough money to be a blessing to children and people in my life. And not only that, but a year is coming to an end where you started it with goals and plans and vision and believing God for certain things. And now you may be coming to an end and you don't feel that you've achieved what you wanted to achieve. You may not feel you have the money to do some things that you want to do. and you don't have people around you that you desire to have around you. Maybe they went home to be with the Lord. Maybe things didn't work out in relationships, and now you find yourself in a season where you begin to slip into a depression and into a loneliness and into a place where it's really a dark place. And as I thought about that, I totally get that from a natural standpoint, because who wouldn't want to have a lot of money to bless their children if their children are deserving? Come on, somebody. If they're not deserving, don't. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. I know God gives us what we don't deserve, but I ain't God. Amen. If you've been, you ain't getting nothing from me. Amen. All right. But we want to be a blessing to our family. We do. We want to be in a place. And as we get to the end of the year, we want to look back and say, man, we've accomplished a lot. Because how many know we're getting older every year? Come on, somebody. I don't know if you ever looked in the mirror, woke up like, man, I am just getting older. Amen. But you look at your life and you want to say, man, I want to be further than what I am. And you look back and you just feel like maybe I didn't grow this year or go this year where I wanted to go. And it feels like you're just not moving. And some of those things can really just weigh on you as a person. So, again, from a natural standpoint, I totally get that, because it's just you want to have success. You're built for success. But the part that I get from a natural standpoint, I don't understand from a Christian standpoint. Because what that simply means to me is, when I was reading that statistic, it begins to give me an understanding, because I was wondering, I was thinking to myself, is this just the world or is this Christians involved in this statistic? And then the more I dig into it, and I went over to a Barnum study, and what I found is that believers fall into the same type of depression in this season as people who don't have Christ. Now, that's where it started getting interesting, because that means that our joy and our fulfillment is based on things and not on something else. Because if a certain type of season I'm up and another type of season I'm down, then that means, what is the source of our joy if we can be up at the beginning of the year and down at the end of the year? From a natural standpoint, I get that. But for believers, I wrestle with that. Because we shouldn't be wavering by outer circumstances. Okay, work with me a little bit. And I'm sensitive to everything. People who've lost loved ones and don't have enough money, got laid off this year, and Christmas is coming. I get that. But I come to tell you that if you are a believer today, that there's something, there's a source, there's a resource that can keep you from wavering in different seasons of your life, and you can become steady in the joy that God has for your life. Because really, if I'm a child of God, I don't want certain seasons to dictate my up and down. I know God is a season. Listen, I know God is in every season of my life. He's in every season of my life, but I don't want to make him a seasonal God. Are you with me? He's in every season of our life, but let's not make him a seasonal God. We've got to understand that if God is in every season, listen, sometimes we hold on to God greater in different seasons of our life. To me, that makes him seasonal. I need to hold on to God the same way in every season of my life. And when we begin to look at this, and I begin to, you know, really listen to the Holy Spirit, I said, why are we up and down as believers? He says, because we've confused joy and happiness. And happiness is really an external thing. That means that they all can create really the same type of feeling to some degree, but the reality is happiness is stimulated on the outside that gives you a good feeling on the inside. And joy can create a good feeling, but joy is not necessarily a feeling. It can be a feeling, but it's not necessarily a feeling, but it leaves you feeling good. But the difference is, your joy is not based on something outside. It's based on something inside that creates the same thing. And I'm okay with being happy. Don't get me wrong. Happy is good, but I can't live by being happy, because that means if I live off of the definition of happiness, that means that my happiness is determined by outer things. I want you to make sure you catch. There's a song. He's talking about, I'm happy. You know, talking about, and too many times we have that. You know, I'm happy with circumstances that are outer, that they're really outer driven. And what I like about this, and really, because if happiness is what you live by, that means you're not in control of what's going on in your life. You're not in control of your smile. You're not in control of your moment. That means that something else is driving what makes you happy. Joy means you're in control of your joy because it's inside and you control that. You govern that. Let me work this thing for just a little bit. Let's look at it a little bit. Because when we look at joy, I want to give you not just a Webster dictionary definition, but I want to give you something that I really feel the Holy Spirit kind of give to me about joy. Because when you look at joy from a regular just definition, let me work this angle here before we get happy. Watch this. Joy just simply means it is a feeling or showing pleasure on. It is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That's the definition. And I can't argue with Webster, but I cannot live with that because that's not my biblical definition. Because joy is not always a feeling. Someone say it's not always a feeling. And so when I was looking at this, I'm going to give you, as I begin to write this down, as the Lord gave it to me, here is what biblical joy is. When you look at Scripture and you read your Bible and you look and study joy, you see it in a different way. It's not always just a feeling. Touch someone and say, it's not always just a feeling. Here's what the Lord gave to me. Here it is right here. It is a settled assurance everything's going to be okay. Listen to that again. It is a settled assurance everything's going to be okay. Watch this, because God's in control. When I began to look at the word rejoice and joy, and I looked at it in the Bible, every time that joy was connected, it was because the people had a settled assurance everything was going to be okay because God was in control. Look at your whole row and just tell them everything's going to be okay because God is in control. Stay with me. That is what joy really is. It is not what's happening, it's what you know. Stay with me. Happiness is what's happening. Joy is what you know. Okay, gotta work this. And I'm trying to help someone because I don't want you to slip into a deep depression. I'm trying to help someone because I don't want you to check out into a dark space and can't get back from it. I don't want you to be shouting January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and then all of a sudden towards the end of the year, we don't even see you. You don't feel the same. You're crying for the next 60 days. You need to learn to govern your joy and your happiness for your own life and not let external moments and people drive what's happening in your life. And when I look at it in the Scripture, every time I saw joy, it was because people had a settled assurance about something. And when you look at joy, it is a mindset. Everybody say mindset. It is something that is a mindset that you have to have. And this is why I begin to, as the Holy Spirit is showing this to me, this is why I said, this is why people are up and down. This is why they're up and down with their happiness and their joy, is because it is a mindset. And the hardest thing for us to control is our mind. You know I'm telling the truth. You don't have to shout me down. I know it's going to be quiet for the first little bit. But I need you to understand the hardest battle for the Christian is the mind. Because the mind, how many know, you can't control what comes in this thing sometimes. You sitting there like, what in the world just came into my head? Anybody ever been there besides me where you just have a thought? You can't control what comes in, but you can control how far it goes. That's why the Bible says take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. You've got to learn that when a thought comes in, grab it, take control, and get rid of it. Because the mind is a tricky place, man. I don't know about your mind, but all I can do is tell you about this mind. And this mind loves Jesus. This mind is full of the Holy Spirit. But every now and then, I just get some stuff. I'm like, what in the world did that come from? It's thoughts that just make me wonder if I'm saved. But I realize the devil is trying to put fiery darts into my head. And he does that when you are at your worst moment going through things. He puts depression in there, negativity, death. You're going to die. You're not going to make it. And the mind can become a dangerous place if you don't control your mind. I hope I'm talking to the right people. But if y'all got holy minds, please lay hands and talk to me. If you don't ever just sit there and be like, where did that thought come from? Who is this in my head? Baby, you got to learn to tell the devil, get the hell out of my mind. I take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I know you're trying to plant a seed in me, but I'm grabbing that thought before it goes any further inside of my mind. And you've got to understand that's how it works with joy. It is a mindset that you have to have. It is literally a mindset that you have to say, I'm going to focus on joy. I know it's a knowing in your mind in a moment. Watch this. And when you know, it puts that same feeling that you get when you're happy. It creates a little sense of happiness inside of you. It is that, so everybody say, it's knowing. It's not what's happening, it's what you know that creates joy. See, happiness is based off what's happening. Joy is based off what you know. Okay. See, happy means I'm happy when I get a new car. I'm happy when I get a promotion. Come on, somebody. I'm happy when I get a good doctor's report. Man, I'm happy when my kids graduate from school. I'm happy when I got enough money to just bless everybody on Christmas like I want to. Man, I'm just happy, just feeling good when I get a new house. But what happens when you lose the house? What happens when you don't have enough money? What happens when you lose the job? What happens when you get a bad report from the doctor? What happens when stuff don't work out? If you're only happy based off what's happening, then you'll never have a settled and steady life of the joy of the Lord in your life. And it's nothing wrong with having those things make you feel good, but that cannot be your foundation of joy. Your foundation of joy is, even when you get a new house, it's not what's giving me joy. It's what I know about the house. It's what I know that in that moment, I know God is who gave it to me. I know that it's God who gave me a good healing and a good report. I know it's God that gave me these finances. And the same way it is if you don't have none of it. If I don't have enough money, I still got my joy because I know that God has this thing in control. If I get laid off, I still got joy because I know God is in control. If I get a bad doctor's report, I still got joy because I know God is in control. It's not what's happening, it's what you know. And the problem is, you got to get your mind to follow this process. And that's the problem, because when a bad doctor report comes, your mind goes to the left. Your mind says you ain't gonna make it. Your mind says you're gonna die. Your mind says, you've been praying, this ain't working. Did you remember what happened to such and such? But you got to have a settled assurance in the middle of all that. And you've got to get your mind to be focused that God, everything's going to be all right. You know why? Because God's in control. Because when you have that settled, somebody say a settled assurance. When you have that settled assurance, watch this right here. You have that assurance, you can take your mind back. And when you take your mind back, your joy comes back. So the reason that we have up and down is not really out of happiness or joy. It's about who's in control of your mind. And when we see this, because many times when you look at joy in Scripture, stay with me, joy is usually found in the worst moments of Bible. Every time I looked at joy, it was always connected to something negative. And then joy would be brought up. It wasn't that people were joyful just to be joyful. There was joy connected to a negative experience. God help me, this is good right here. Give me a minute, we're going to get there. Do you remember, let me show it to you. I wouldn't mean, go to Hebrews 12 and 2 real quick. Let me show you this real quick. I need you to look at this, because whenever we're talking about joy, I need you to understand, it's important that you understand it's not what's happening, it's what you know. And I'm not saying you're going to have joy and everything's going to feel good. Joy often is found in times where things are not at its best, when things are uncomfortable, when things are painful, when things aren't right. Look at this right here. We're going to look at this again, but let me look at this right here. This says, looking unto Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Come on, everybody say Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Watch what it says. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's what it said. When Jesus was on the cross, he found joy. Now, I don't know if you understand what it was like on the cross. I'm not sure if you ever got a, you know, understanding of what happened on Calvary. But Jesus had nails in his hand. Jesus had nails in his feet. Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. I mean, he had his body bloodied. He was whipped. And in the midst of that, watch this, he still found joy. What are you saying to me, Pastor? Is I'm saying that I'm not saying joy comes in the midst of good things happening to you. Joy is manifested a lot of times in the midst of negativity. All throughout Scripture, I'm showing you more in a minute. All throughout Scripture, I begin to look at joy, and joy was connected to loss, pain, and anything not good. And then joy began to arise, and it began to manifest. And what I began to learn is many of us think joy is joyful only when something, a good experience is happening. Yes, you can have joy in that as well. But at the same time, what we need to learn is that when we get into seasons of season change and Christmas, New Year's, and all these holidays, that you, even if it doesn't feel good, you still should have joy on the inside. It's not a feeling, it's a knowing. It's not just a feeling, it's a knowing. And this is the one thing the devil knows, and he knows it is the power of joy. The devil understands more than anybody in here the power of joy. Because if we begin, which we're getting ready to look at, when we begin to understand joy, the devil realizes it ain't too much more I can do with you. Hear me when we get where we're going. The more you understand about joy, the devil realizes it's not a whole lot I can do to them. Can I even push it this way? The devil is not after your car. He's not after your house. He's after your joy this morning. He's after the inner understanding and knowing. He could care less if you get a brand new Rolls Royce. Come on, every one of us to take one for Christmas. Come on, somebody. But he ain't after that Rolls Royce. He's after your joy. Because if he gets your joy, he gets everything else inside of you. And I'm tired of Christians not having joy. I'm tired of believers being in depression. I'm tired of people who believe in a God who lives on Calvary. And I'm not saying it's the people's fault. I'm saying it's the devil's fault. And I'm tired of the devil wearing God's people out. We have no joy, but we lift up our hands on Sunday. We have no joy, but we read our Bible. We have no joy, but we confess him. The devil is a lie. Jesus came into this world to give us joy in every season of your life. We are to be joyful believers. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of looking at Christians that look like they got lemons in their mouth, sucking on sour grapes and pickles and stuff. Come on, somebody. Life can bring hell every now and then. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust just alike. The difference is when it rains on us, we still got our joy. When it rains on us, we still can smile. We still can have an assurance, a settled assurance. Everything's going to be all right. You may be having a nervous breakdown. You may get ready to take a pill and go into a coma, but baby, I got the joy of the Lord inside of me. It's raining on you, it's raining on me, but the difference is I didn't get happy. I still got joyful because I got God living inside of me. It's not what's happening, it's what I know about my God. Touch your neighbor, say, I got my joy. Joy is one of the most underestimated and underrated things in the body of Christ. I like that song, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Something like that. I don't know it real good, but I know I like it when it come on the radio. Because Jesus brought joy to the world. That was one of the main things. He brought joy. He brought a settled assurance, a knowing in every situation, everything's going to be all right because God's in control. That's the joy he brought. We cannot, as a believer, I get it from a natural man standpoint. But how many know you're a believer if you're in this room today? You're a child of God if you're in this room today. And if you're not, we're going to get you there by the time we finish up. But if you are a child of God, God says, I know you're going to go through some stuff, but when you go through it, you're going to go through it with joy. You don't have to go through it taking a pill and Prozac and I know it's real controversial. What I'm saying, I don't tell people to get off their pills. Well, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Amen. Come on, let me backtrack. I forgot there's a lot more pills than what I'm thinking in my head right now. See, y'all not in my head. I got only one pill in my head, but then the Holy Spirit said, no, you better clarify that. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about when they give you stuff like Prozac to help you in your mind and you're going through and all that stuff. I don't tell people to get off that stuff because, you know, just hang on to it till you get your joy. You understand? Just do what you got to do till you get this message down. You understand? Because some people need that every now and then to be. But what I'm saying is, once you get God's joy and the understanding, you can slide that Prozac back. I believe there's a transitioning season coming. And that transitional season comes when you have revelation. It's not about what's happening to your life. It's what you know inside of your life that will help you get through what you needed a pill for. And then all of a sudden, you can take that pill and you can change it for another pill. And it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ will transition you from the other pill to get you happy. And so what I need you to understand is the devil does not want you to have your joy. There are too many people who've tapped out in certain situations and circumstances. You've tapped out. But what I want you to understand, here's what the devil hates. Let me give you three things about joy you need to know. The importance of joy. Joy is what helps you endure. I want you to make sure you get this. Joy is what helps you to endure when you're going through. One of the main reasons people have not endured situations, and as I just said, they've tapped out, is because they didn't have joy. Joy causes you to hang on and to endure things that are happening in your life. I am convinced that one of the main reasons people don't endure is because they don't have joy. And when we see this here, listen to me, when we see this in Hebrews 12, let's look at it again. I want you to make sure you catch it because we see enduring in here. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. When I got this messed me up. Because I thought to myself, I used to say stuff, you know, Jesus hung on the cross for me and all this stuff. But when I got and I look at this and you look, it says that he endured. He was able to handle and not get off the cross and not tap out to the call of God on his life when he was going through hell. He was able to endure the pressure, the pain of the moment for one reason and one reason only. Wasn't because he was Jesus. Wasn't because he was amazing God. This is what it was. It was because, watch this, he had joy that he was focused on. The Bible's right there says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Joy made him say, stay on the cross. Joy made him say, do not give up right now. Joy made him say, in a worst moment of his humanity, the joy made him say, you can make it through this thing. You can hang in there, because joy was telling him on the inside, while people were walking away from him on the outside, people were beating him on the outside, joy inside of him was telling him, you have a settled assurance, everything's going to be all right, because God the Father is in control. And every time that came into him, there was a settled and a small joy that came up in there and say, I can make it through this thing. I can survive. Just hang in there a little bit longer. There's a greater purpose at work right now. He didn't stay on the cross because he was God. He stayed on the cross because he had joy. And church, here's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know what cross you're on right now. I don't know what cross you've been crucified on. But if Jesus can stay on this cross, I know you can make it through your cross. You just got to get the same joy. You got to get the same focus. You got to have the same mentality. And I don't know if your cross is sickness. I don't know if your cross is cancer. I don't know if it's a disease. I don't know if you went through a divorce, a loss of a loved one in this season. But whatever is crucifying your flesh, you need to look at it in the mirror and tell yourself everything. Things gonna be all right. I can have joy because I have a settled assurance that God is in control in this moment, and you can make it through this season. You don't have to tap out. Touch your neighbor, say, don't tap out. Don't tap out. Nehemiah 8 and 10. I could just hit it on the drive-by. Nehemiah 8 and 10, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I knew this was anointed, so they had the scripture right. Put it up there. I need you to catch this. Nehemiah 8 and 10, I just said it. But the joy of the Lord, watch what it says. It is your strength. Put it up there, please, so they can see. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Put it up there, please. I'm quoting it, but I want us to see it. Nehemiah 8, come on. And what I want you to catch is 10, 8, 8 and 10. Okay, believe me, it's just there. I love it because Nehemiah says, listen, your strength is joy. Your strength is joy. Church, the reason why some of you have not endured certain things, you slipped into a spiritual coma, and you disappear from worship and loving God, it's because you had no joy. And when you have no joy, you cannot endure anything. I'm convinced that the main reason people check out in tough times and they tap out in their call with God and they're moving with God is that it is literally because they lose their joy. And the Bible says, when we get to Nehemiah 8 and 10, and you see it with your own eyes, that the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Church, catch that. Let it get in your spirit. Because right here, look at me. I'm right here, right here. Don't look back at me. And see, everybody's like, look back. Are they okay back there? They all right. Bless the Lord. Come on. God is up this way. Come on. The anointing's right here. See, we've got to understand the devil wants you to tap out. If you don't catch the revelation of where your strength comes from, you'll never make it through anything. We have people tapping out when they go through something. They tap out. I lost a job. Oh, where is God? Where is your strength? Why don't you have strength? Oh, I don't know. It's because you don't have joy. You don't have a settled assurance. You don't have what you need to make it through. And I'm tired of lip-wristed Christians. Every time the devil blows on you, I get it. Nobody wants to be under attack from the devil. But baby, I just said it rains on the just and the unjust. Jesus says you will have tribulation in this life, and we've got to get to the point to realize that when it comes, you got to have joy to make it through the hell you're going through. And some of us right now, we're sitting here like, well, I'm going through everything okay. Well, let me tell you something. Every now and then, listen, you, whenever you hear something from the word of the Lord, put it in your back pocket, because maybe the devil hasn't knocked on your door yet, but baby, this is not a negative confession. As long as you keep loving Jesus, sooner or later, he's gonna knock on your door. He's gonna huff, he's gonna pluff, and he's gonna try to blow it down. And you better pull back this scripture, and you better pull back what's inside of you and what you've heard today. And you got to let him know that, baby, I'm not losing my joy. I remember on the first Sunday of December 19th, they were preaching the importance of joy, and joy is what's going to get you to get through what you're going through. You know what I love about Christians is sometimes we come to church. I'm trailing right now. Sometimes we come to church and we're like, well, this ain't for me. I wish somebody else was here to hear this. This would be great for my mama. I wish my mama was here today. Boy, I wish my ex-husband was here. But really, the reality is, every time you hear a word from the Lord, put it inside you. Do not tell me that's for somebody else. No. You know what it's like? I've learned something in life. Every sermon I've heard, I try to hang on to. Even if it has nothing to do with my life, seemingly. I put it away, because sooner or later, it's got to come out. It's not a negative confession, but at the same time, you know sooner or later what you hear you're going to need. And it's amazing that when you need something and you're like, God, I need a word. God said, I gave you a word for that 5 years ago. You just didn't hang on to it. I'm nowhere in my notes. You guys remember this thing growing up? This is going to date a lot of us. It was called a see and say. All the millennials have no idea what I'm talking about. A CNC was that little round thing. And when you pull the string, it spin around. And when it landed on an animal, a dog, it goes woof, 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 woof. The toy company programmed it that when you pulled the string and it landed on something, what was in it would come out of it that was already pre-programmed. They didn't know when it was going to land on it, but it was in there just in case it ever landed on it when the string was pulled. God, help me right now. And that's what preaching is. You never know when the devil's going to pull your string, because it may land on something you didn't expect it to land on. And when it lands on it, you got a word that's already in you. It's not woof, woof, woof. It's I am the healed of the Lord. I can make it and I can get through it. I can, got to turn it around in the midnight hour. Let the devil pull your string. You may not need it now, but you will have it later on. As long as it's in you, you never know when you going to need it, because the devil may not be pulling your string now, but he'll try to pull your string later. Touch your neighbor and say, I know he's telling the truth.
Okay.
We talking about this for somebody else. No, this is for you today, Joker. I'm talking right to you. Matter of fact, slap yourself. This ain't slap your neighbor. Slap yourself and say, I need to hear about the joy of the Lord today. I know your life is great right now, but baby, I'm telling the devil will try to pull your string, and you got to have something in you when he pulls your string, something that's pre-programmed before it ever gets there. Preaching good right now. It worked. I stalled long enough for it to be there. Now I'm ready. I don't know where I was going, but I'm like, I'm going to preach something else till we get there. And that was the best sermon of the day. Amen. Watch this. Here it is. I want you to see if you look at the bottom. Look at it. He says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I need you to see it with your own eyes, because that speaks volumes to me, that joy is strength. Joy is strength. Joy is strength. You got to understand that Jesus was able to hang on Calvary not because he was God, not because he was different than you and I. The Bible says he's the hypostatic union. He was all God and all man, 100% man and 100% God at the same time. He felt what we felt. He went through what we went through. His mind told him to get down. His mind told him, me and you ain't worth it. His mind says, no, I'm going back to the throne. His body was saying, check up out of here. But he focused on the joy. And when he focused on the joy, he says, I can get through this. I can make it through it. I know I want to quit right now, but I know that God is in control right now. You remember Acts chapter 16? Media, roll with me. Acts 16, 23 and 5. It lets us know that we know this, Paul and Silas in the midnight hour. We know this. And the Bible lets us know in the midnight hour, they were singing and dancing. Watch verse 23. Let me break this down. In verse 23 it says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, just like Jesus, we talk about them in jail, but before they went to jail, they were beaten. They were whipped just like Jesus. They threw them in prison, commanding the jailers to keep them securely. Verse 24. Having received such a charge, he put them into an inner prison. They were in prison. They were locked. Their feet were locked. Verse 25 is where I want to get to. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Stay with me. I began to ponder on this very text right here. Is it because we shout about what brought them out? Because if we read on, we know the jail gates opened. The chains fell off. Their praise brought them out. That's what we preach, right? We preach, man, you praise God, he'll bring you out of your midnight hour. You praise God, he's breaking your chains. It is a reality. But I had to ask myself, and the Holy Spirit began to bring me here. He says, we talk about the praise, but what was it that caused them to praise? We talk about the praise is what opened the jail, but we never talked about what caused them to begin to praise. How do you begin to praise? And we get what praise will do, but how do you praise in a moment like that? We don't talk about what caused the praise. We talk about what the praise had, what the praise did, but what caused them to praise. And the Lord said the only time someone can praise in a moment like that is when they have a joy inside. Forget the praise. The joy is what caused the praise. Without the joy, there was no praise, and without the praise, there was no breakthrough. Everything we read started with something on the inside, a settled assurance where they were sitting there saying, everything's going to be all right. I can imagine a conversation Paul and Silas has sitting there. Because when we preach this, we preach people about praise and how it breaks you out. And trust me, praise will deliver you. Come on, somebody. You begin to praise when you're going through something, it'll bring you back. Come on. It would change your whole atmosphere. Come on. It's something about praise. It's something about worship. It's something about music. I mean, music is just music. Music has the ability. How many know, even when you're secular back in the day, you can put on something and it'll just make you feel good. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I'm not talking about Jesus music. I'm talking about just back in your BC days. You could just got fired from work, get in the car, and your jam come on. All of a sudden, you feel just a little bit better. You know what I'm talking about. You, hey. And if secular music can do that, how much more can worship from the Spirit? It breaks chains. It delivers people. But my question is, what's going to cause you to praise him? It's the joy they had. Because I believe Paul and Silas were probably locked down. They were sitting in jail together. They were sitting there like, man, we just got beat down. Man, what, man? I believe they were sitting there, and I believe Paul and Silas, one of them said, because how many know sometimes it's good to go through something with other people? Because they can talk. Don't never be alone, man. Get around somebody, and at least they can talk you through something. And the thing is, they could talk to each other because they experienced the same thing. I always say this, don't talk to people who ain't went through what you went through. They have the ability to talk to each other because they experience the same thing. And I believe it was a conversation with something like this, man. We going to die tomorrow. They going to execute us. And I believe Paul probably being the spiritual leader, said, God's got this. I know it ain't looking good right now. I know my eyes swole. I can't see. I got beat. I know we're in these chains right now. We're shackled. We're supposed to be executed tomorrow, but God's got this. And I know they were sitting there saying, man, I'm not feeling well. My body was just beat. This is crazy. Maybe we shouldn't have been talking that Jesus stuff and we would have been all right. And Paul said, man, God's got this. Man, I can see God working something good through this thing right now. And then Silas said, man, you know what? You're right. I had the same thought. God, everything is going to be all right. I know I'm not liking what I'm feeling right now. I know I'm in pain. But you know what? Everything's going to be all right. And I believe as they were saying that, an inner joy began to raise up. And then when that inner joy began to raise up, they began to sing songs and begin to worship. But I believe it started with a focus, not on the circumstance, but a knowing that everything was going to be all right. And they begin to sing, our God is an awesome God. They begin to sing stuff that made them just get all excited. But I believe it started with them not looking at the outside, but focusing on an eternal assurance that everything's going to be all right. And when they begin to get their mind out of the way, they begin to worship. And when they begin to worship, God began to deliver them out of their season. But it starts with mental understanding and a settled assurance that everything's going to be all right. Touch your neighbor and say, everything's going to be all right. That's why the Bible says, Psalms 30 and 5, we can quote it, but put it up there, please. It says, weeping may endure for a night. Okay, I'm going to come back to this side. They got some word over here now. But joy cometh in the morning. Now, I want you to catch this. This is a biblical analogy. This is an analogy where he's letting you know that weeping is a dark period and joy is a morning. It's a biblical analogy, understanding that it's an analogy comparing. Isn't it amazing? It compared joy to mourning. It compared weeping to darkness, to the darkest hour. But joy, of all analogies, the Bible used joy to be mourning. Joy to be a new moment, a new day, a new season. And that's what joy will do. It will create a new season. It will create you to endure until it turns around. It will create you to say, we can make it until everything hangs in there. If you can endure, it will cause a morning to come. The reason we don't see a morning is because we can't endure the night. But the way you endure the night is to hang on to your joy. And when you hang on to your joy, you can endure until God brings you through anything. You may be broke today, but I dare you to get your joy, and you can make it through financial trouble. You may have a bad doctor's report in your back pocket, but baby, if you can hang on to joy, you can make it till morning. Morning's not 6 a.m. Morning is anytime your joy rises up in you. It creates a newness in that hour. I dare somebody to shout hallelujah up in here. The devil don't care about your job. He don't care about your family. All he cares about is, can I get your joy? I'll give you happiness, but I'll take your joy. I'll give you happiness, but let me hang on to your joy, because joy will put the devil back in hell. The joy will bring you out of every captivity. The joy will change your marriage. Joy will cause you to get out of any addiction and struggle and any heartache the devil has put you in. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It is your strength. It is a biblical analogy that we miss. That joy cometh in the morning. It's an analogy that if you keep joy in front of you and you endure what you're going through, there's got to be a morning season. And even in your morning, M-O-U morning, it can still create a M-O-R morning. It will cause you to endure the pain. No one ever said, when you look at joy, we just saw it with Jesus. He was on the cross. You just saw joy connected to weeping. When you look at joy in the Bible, it's connected to a negative experience. And you've got to understand that joy is the one thing I believe many of us have missed this year. And baby, I believe you're getting it back as we go. I believe, I ask the Holy Spirit, let the joy arise as I'm preaching.
Let it come alive in your people while I'm preaching to them. Holy Spirit, do an infusion for those that are depressed at home and depressed in their money and depressed on their job. And they're looking back. They've had hurt. I believe the Holy Spirit right now is infusing joy to arise inside of you. Because I believe that when you get out of here, baby, you're not going to be worried about certain things. You're going to have a settled assurance that everything in your life is going to be all right. If you can just get your mind under control and focus on what is in front of you and stop looking at what's around you, joy will live inside of you, and you can make it through anything. People will be questioning, why are you still smiling? Why are you still hanging in there? It's because I got joy, baby. That's all I got is joy. And reality is, that's all I need at times, is the joy of the Lord, and it will be my strength in every season of my life.
Here's the other thing I got to raise up. Here it is. Let me give you the second thing. Not only would joy cause you to endure, but Elder, I love this. When I was looking at Scripture, I noticed that joy also was connected to restoration. Not only did I notice joy was connected to weeping, endurance, going through, but always, whenever I saw joy, I saw God restore something. God help me. And when I looked at it, the Holy Spirit prophetically said, tell your people, listen to me, tell your people, he said, let them know I'm restoring. Listen to him very carefully, the year. Because there's things you've lost this year. He says, I'm restoring it with joy. Look at this right here. And we miss it in Scripture. When we go over, watch this right here. I'm going to read through some more scriptures than I normally do. Go to Joel chapter 2, verse 21. And I want to read through media if we can quickly through a few scriptures here. In Joel chapter 2, verse 21, watch what it says. It starts with this. It says, fear not, O land. See, I like this. It says, fear not, and then it tells you, be glad and rejoice. Another term for have joy, rejoice. So you notice the one thing that's at competition is fear and joy. And how many know that that's the same battle you face when you go through a doctor's report? You got to fight in your mind, fear or do I have joy? And what happens is that you have got to make a decision and decide, I'm going with joy. And the decision has got to be in your mind, but watch what happens. Stay with me. This whole thing starts with fear not, O land. There's something going on in the land. Fear not, O land. Don't be down, O land. He says, be glad, though, and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Verse 22. He goes on to say, do not be afraid. Watch what it says, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. The tree bears its fruit, the fig trees and the vineyard their strength. Verse 23, be glad then, you children of Zion. And here it is, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Verse 24, he goes on to say, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. Verse 25. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Last verse, verse 26. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and the people shall never be put to shame. I like this because when you look at it, this whole thing started with one thing. Fear not, O land, but rejoice. And when you have rejoicing and joy, it didn't give them everything back and then they had joy. They had joy first, and then God says, I'm going to restore what the cankerworm has stolen. And I'm telling somebody this morning, when you begin to have joy on the inside, God says, I'm waiting to restore what the cankerworm has stolen in 2019. I'm here to give you back everything the devil has tried to take from you, but you can't get happy when you get it back. You got to have joy before you ever see that thing come back. You got to have a settled assurance in the absence of something that God is still in control before you ever see it. Watch what the Holy Spirit said to me. The reason some people have not seen some things is because they've lost their joy. And that's why he says, if you can get your joy back, you can get everything else back. But the restoration starts with first restoring your joy this morning. If you get your joy restored, God says, I can give you back what you lost. There is always restoration. Watch this. Go with me over this. I got to get you to see this. Go to Habakkuk. I got to get through all these before I preach them. Habakkuk 3:17.
Look at this restoration here. Wow, watch what it says. Though the fig trees may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. I don't know if you know this, but if you're living in that day and age, that's rough. That ain't no food. That ain't no gas money. That don't have no APS is turned off. Bank account is negative. Getting calls from bill collectors. You trying to act like you somebody else when you answer the phone? Is Shaniqua there? Who this? Nope, she don't live here. Verse 18. After all that, I didn't expect this in verse 18. It's empty, but watch what he says. Yet I will rejoice. He says, I've lost everything. No cattle, no oil, no olive. Everything's run out. It says, but yet I will rejoice. Meaning I will have joy in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. Watch this. Everything is empty. Everything is gone in verse 17. But we find joy, watch this, in verse 18. See, this is what you got to catch. Everything is lost in verse 17. And then they have joy in verse 18, because if I'm reading verse 17 without seeing verse 18, I don't expect there to be rejoicing and joy in verse 18. The natural man is taking Prozac. Come on, somebody. The natural man needs to go see a counselor right now. A natural man is going through some things. And again, nothing wrong with counselors. Nothing wrong with those things in your season. But baby, when you get joy, there's going to be a transition season coming in your life. Verse 19 goes on to say, if you can give me verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. Yeah. Watch this. In 18, there was joy. Verse 19, there it is, strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You notice he had joy in 18, and then you got God's strength in 19. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me to walk on my high heels. Let me make sure you understand what's happening right now. If you know anything about the deer's feet, he's talking about he will cause you to walk on high places. In the midst of there being absence, you will have joy that even though there's an absence of something, God's going to cause you to walk on high places. When you understand what the writer is saying, he said he's going to make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me to walk on my high heels. Even though I don't have it, God's going to give it to me anyway. He's going to cause me to go up and up and up. But it didn't happen in 19 till he had joy in 18. Lost everything in 17, but got joy in 18. And in 19, God's caused him to walk on a higher level. Church, you got to understand joy is connected to your restoration. How many people have been done wrong spiritually and even in your anointings and callings, and watch what happens? You lose joy. And then all of a sudden God says, I'm still trying to get you to walk on high places. Because we've connected our anointings to a man and to a church. Listen, if I was waiting on somebody to finally tell me I'm called, I'd still be waiting on somebody to tell me I'm called. Because, listen, I was done wrong spiritually. I could have let the devil take my joy. But I still said, I got a settled assurance everything's going to be all right. And God says, listen, you can't let what other people do to you cause you not to get what God has for you. Too many times we've allowed people on every level of life, whether it's an ex-wife, ex-husband, pastor, leader, job, we've let people dictate our life. But, baby, the devil is a lie. I realize I don't need a man. All I need is joy. Because when I get joy, God will cause me to walk in high places without the help of a man getting me there. Jeremiah 33. Here it is. Jeremiah 33:9. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth. I like this. Oh, I love this right here. Who shall hear all the good that I do to them? They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Next verse, verse 10. Thus says the Lord, again there should be heard in this place, I like it, of which you say is desolate. He says, again there shall be heard in this place, of which you said is desolate, without a man, it's empty. It's no beast. In the city of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, they're desolate, without a man, without inhabitations, and without beast. This is a dried up place. This is a desolate place. Verse 11. The voice of joy. Here it is. He said the voice of joy and the voice of gladness. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of God, For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And those who will bring the sacrifice of the praise of the house of the Lord, watch what he says, for I will cause the captives of the land. Watch this. He says, all that land is empty, that people were taken captive. He says, I'm going to cause of the land to return as it was at first. When they had joy, God was saying, here's what's about to happen. Everything where people were taken captive is why it was barren in the city. He says, because they were taken captive, he said, joy, I'm going to cause it to go back to the way it was. And church, this is the prophetic word I'm trying to get you this morning, is God begin to tell me that wherever you're barren in 2019, joy, if you begin to see your joy come back, he is going to take what has been barren, what has been taken captive. I don't know what it is in your life, but I got a prophetic on the inside that God sent me to tell whoever's sitting in this sanctuary that he's about to restore what the canker worm has stolen. Your streets may be barren. Your cupboards may be barren. Your anointing may feel barren. Your calling may feel barren. Your career may feel barren. Your marriage may feel barren. Your vision may feel barren. But baby, God is about to restore everything that was taken captive. And it all depends on your joy. And if you get your joy, you can get back what the devil has tried to steal. Lean on your neighbor and tell him, my joy is coming back. This is for everybody, but somebody got to hear this. There is a prophetic release. This point was a prophetic point. God said, tell them. He said, tell them. When he said, you people, your people have messed me up, because he's talking about in this house. He said, tell them in this house. He said, tell them in this house. I am restoring what they lost in 2019. God, I hope you hear. This is not a point I'm preaching. This point is a prophetic release in your spirit. It may not be for everybody, but I know it's for somebody up in here, that whatever you lost, all you got to do is get your joy up for just a moment. And when you get your joy up for just a moment, God says, I'm beginning the restoration process. God, I feel it in my spirit right here. I need you to play with me. If I'm talking to you, all I need you to do is stand for just a moment, because I believe, if this is really you, I need you to hear me. I want you to hear and receive this prophetic. I need you to just lift your hands for a moment. This is not a preaching point. It's in my notes. This is a prophetic point, that whatever the cankerworm has stolen, whatever is the beasts are barren, the cabinets are empty, the streets are desolate in your life, there's a prophetic release coming back. There is a prophetic release. I don't know what exactly we lost, but when you get your joy, watch what's happening. God is restoring. He is restoring. The Holy Spirit literally said, I'm restoring what they lost in 2019. Whatever you feel you lost, you can get it back. Hear what I'm saying to you. This is a prophetic. I want you to look and see that prophetic in your spirit. One, I want you to see it coming back. But two, you got to have a settled assurance that God is in control and everything's going to be all right. And when you do that, watch what happens. What you're seeing is going to come to be. What you're seeing right now, you got to see it. And that's why you can rejoice. When you have a settled assurance, everything's going to be all right. Holy Spirit, we ask for that prophetic to fall down. Let it release into your people as you've spoken. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your people right now. For every person that needs that thing to come back. That person that's been dried up in 2019. That person who seemingly their streets are barren, their city is desolate, the relationship is bankrupt, the anointing is so dry, they don't even feel you anymore. Holy Spirit, bring it back. We receive the prophetic even now. Come on, I want everybody to say, I receive the prophetic. Holy Spirit, we receive your word. We receive it right now. Let joy manifest it now. Father, I release your word over your people and over this house. Whatever's barren, let it come back to your people. wherever the pain has been, the desolate, wherever even the joy was lost, let it come back. God, I pray right now like never before that they receive that prophetic. Come on, church, I need you just to stretch with faith and go get it. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. This is your moment. If you don't need it, that's all right. But there's some people who need some things back, and they know who they are. There's no confusion. There's no trying to figure out what side of the fence I'm on. You know right now this is for you. If anything, at this point, this prophetic point right here is for you to get it back. I pray the Holy Spirit fall. Just breathe on us, God. Infuse your people. Restore to them their power in the anointing. I feel that on the anointing part. Callings, let them come alive. Those that were so spiritually entrenched in you, God, that have frayed away, I pray that you breathe on them now, that prophetic word into them, the same way God breathed into Adam, the same way Jesus breathed into the disciples. Restore every anointing that has been stolen. Let them have a settled assurance, oh God, that everything's going to be all right. Listen, if you believe that, I want you to clap your hands real good right now. Come on, clap them real good right there. Clap them real good. Come on, you're getting it back. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you right now, that's a prophetic release. You're getting it back. Come on, high five your neighbor and tell him you're getting it back. He said it's a prophetic word. You're getting out. You're getting it back. Hey, listen, sit down. That was a Holy Spirit intervention move right there. That was not planned. Let me give you this last one right here. Somebody say I'm getting it back. Watch this right here. Let me give you this last point. In John 15:11, is amazing that is. I love it. It's John 15:11. Put it back up there. Let's look at the scripture and give you this last point here. I like John 15:11. It was what we read earlier. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Okay, so I love this because remember, he says, all these things I've said before, when we're talking about abide in me, stay in me, live in me, dwell in me. He was saying, I said all those things about abiding in me that my joy may remain in you. That's good stuff right there. But at the same time, I looked at it from the flip side and I said, that's not good. Because you're literally telling us we have to abide in you in order for it to remain in us. He says, I've spoken all these things that my joy may remain in you. Meaning I'm telling you, you have to abide in me for my joy to abide in you. Okay. So the good news is he's telling you something so the joy can stay. But there's got to be a reason he's telling you, because if you don't abide in him, the joy may not stay. And here's the thing. It sounds symptomatic. As long as I'm in Jesus, I'm going to be able to have that joy. That's true. But I'm not necessarily talking from a salvation standpoint. I'm talking about in relation standpoint. Because many of us, all of us, if we confess Jesus, have salvation. But all of us don't have relation. Yeah, it's going to get tight right in here on my way to my car. I might need security on this one. You can have salvation and not have relation. What do you mean, Pastor? I can confess Jesus with my mouth. I can truly believe in my heart he is my Lord. And I mean sincerely believe he died, rose from the dead. He's alive and well. Confess and believe in him. But have no more relationship with him until I go to see him. That's a lot of the church. And what happens is we get religious with showing up in a building every now and then. And we're really not in relation. And so although we have salvation, we don't have relation. How many know you can have people in your family who are your family, but you don't even talk to them no more?
Okay, I hit something right there. Amen. Everybody's like, ooh, yeah, that's a word for my family. Amen. You are connected to them. You can't even get rid. You can't even divorce family. Ain't nothing. Somebody over there said, I wish, but amen. Oh, I heard it. But here's what I need you to understand. Your family is your family. You stuck. You realize that you can't divorce your family? Ain't nothing you can do. You family. But watch this right here. Although you're connected eternally, you don't even have to have no relationship. And really, salvation can be the same way, because God said, listen, if you confess me with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus raised from dead, you shall be saved. And I believe there are people who genuinely believe and have salvation, but they walk this life without any relation. And what happens is, for your joy to remain, watch what he says, these things I have spoken that my joy will stay in you. And church, what I believe many of us don't have joy is because all we have is salvation without relation. And when you don't have relation, that means you're not really abiding in Christ, and you cannot have his joy the way you think you should have his joy. And what we've got to understand, and here is the way how you grow your and my third point is to feed your joy. Because that's what you've got to continue to do to abide in Christ and to have his joy, is you have to continually feed the joy that is inside of you. And the way you feed your joy is abide in relationship with Christ. Now, here it is. Here's the question. How do I stay in relationship with Christ? Because every one of us, I know we good church folk in this church. Every one of us know he died on Friday. And he stayed all dead on Friday. And he stayed dead on Saturday. And on the third day, what did he do? He got up. And after that, shortly after that, how many know Jesus went on to be in heaven? It's going to get quiet right here. And if I had to ask you where your Savior was today, I'm curious to where you think he is. Watch how quiet it's about to get. Your Savior is in heaven. It's going to get tight. So how do I stay in relation with a Savior that's in heaven when I'm on earth? Oh, I got some Bible people in this place. I'm finna bring my Wednesday night to you, since you didn't come on my Wednesday night. Because what the church forgets a lot is that Jesus has gone on to be in heaven. His name is what connects us here on earth. Because when you call on the name of Jesus, watch what happens. It's going to mess you up. If you ain't been here on Wednesday, it's going to break your theology. When you call on the name of Jesus, watch this. Jesus does not move. You just see all the baby saints. Jesus does not move, but the Holy Spirit moves on the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to get you where you need to be. What the church has done, stay with me. I told the Wednesday night, I don't know if they can handle this on a Sunday, but I'm about to give it to you. Here it is. We have been in relation with Christ without the Holy Spirit. We are so much focused on Jesus, but we have not focused enough on the Holy Spirit. And watch the Bible. Let me teach this for you so we can raise up. Go to John chapter 16, verse 12. Let me make sure. Can y'all handle this for about 3 minutes? It's going to be tight, but it's right here. It is. This is Jesus talking, John 16. Watch what it says. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you. Jesus talking. He's leaving. He's talking to his disciples. He says, I got a lot to say. He says, but you can't handle it all right now. Verse 13. However, he says, you can't handle everything right now. This is Jesus talking. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Not me, he will not speak on his own authority, but watch what he's going to do. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Stay with me. He's saying the Holy Spirit is going to tell you what he hears. And he's the one that's here with you while Christ is in heaven. Y'all ain't with me right now. Watch this. Verse 14. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine. Watch this.
and declare it to you. Okay, I got to make sure you caught what you just heard. Watch this. He literally said he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You got to understand this. Jesus is literally shifting the importance off of him and onto the Holy Spirit. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't get religious right now. Jesus is the bomb.com. He is the best, period. Ain't nothing like our Jesus. Ain't nothing like J-E-S-U-S. Come on, somebody. Jesus is our everything. Nothing happens without the name of Jesus. But I need you to catch this. Nothing happens on this earth without the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. Nothing happens on this earth for believers without the Holy Spirit. You can't get a breakthrough without the Holy Spirit. You can't get healed without the Holy Spirit. The favor of God does not move without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves on the name of Jesus. But here's the problem with the church. We're not in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what keeps us in relation with Jesus. And the problem with the church, I don't know if y'all can handle this on Sunday, but I'm giving it to you anyway, is the problem with the church is the way that we feed our joy is when we stay in relationship with God, meaning through the Holy Spirit. Jesus even said in the Bible, he says, listen, it's better that I go that he may come. He says, it's better for you that I leave so the Holy Spirit can be here. It's right there in your Bible. And the problem is the Bible lets us know and understand that when we're in relationship with the Holy Spirit, your joy will begin to remain and it will stay. But the reason many of us don't have an everlasting joy is because we have no relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if all you have is relationship with the name of Jesus, that's powerful, that's great. But you got to also have relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you can have his presence in your life. Okay, I'm going to have to really work right here. This right here. Because the problem is too many of us are lukewarm Christians right now. We are so, sometimes we're with God, sometimes we're not with God, sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not. And the Bible lets us know that in Revelation 3:15, go ahead and put it up there, he says, listen, because you're lukewarm as a Christian, I spew you out of my mouth. He says, I'd rather you be cold or hot. But because you're not, he says, you make me nauseous. I want to vomit. Put it up there for me. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Go verse 16 if you can. I don't think I gave it to you. Put it up there in verse 16. And he goes on to say, listen, he says, you make me want to vomit. God says, I wish you were one or the other. He says, I need you to be in relationship. Church, here's what I'm trying to tell you. As believers, we have got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit like never before. If you want to remain in relationship with Christ, you have got to also bring into your communications a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and you begin to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, your joy is what's going to begin to stay alive in you. And the reason I believe the church doesn't have joy is because the church don't have a good relationship with the one who Jesus says I left for you to have a relationship with. I know this ain't Sunday preaching get you happy, but the reality is I need you to start talking to the Holy Spirit every day. I'm gonna tell you like they say in the hood, day. You need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you say, Pastor, how do I do that? The same way you drive down the car, I tell them on Wednesday night, this is how you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying park your car and pray to the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is just talk to the Holy Spirit. I'm going into work, Holy Spirit, I need your help up in here today. Holy Spirit, my boss is tripping. Can you help a brother out? Holy Spirit, I don't got any money, but I'm just trusting that I know God's got this. But Holy Spirit, and when you acknowledge him and talk to him and let him know that you know that he's with you, God, your joy, because the Bible says in the presence of the Lord is the full of joy. How do you get in the presence of God? It's through his Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit with you, you have the fullness of joy, not just in eternity, but you have the fullness of joy right here on earth. I bet there's a majority of people in this room who are so have not even talked to the Holy Spirit in 5 months. Just don't wave right now. But how many of us don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? But we have religiousness. Nothing, stay with me. Jesus is the best. He died for us. That's our Savior. But if you read Scripture, Jesus pointed us to the Holy Spirit. He says, when you call on my name and my blood, the Holy Spirit is the one who moves. He's the one on earth. Jesus says, I'm in the throne rooms of heaven. And while you're on earth, the Holy Spirit hears me in heaven, and he's with you. And when he hears me, he comforts you. And we don't have a relationship with the comforter. Call the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, son, you've got to tell them, not just the Wednesday night crowd, but you need to tell all my people. They need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. I want to go to John. You need to see it. John 16. Go to John 16, 7. I just need for some people don't come to Wednesday. I need you to see it for yourself. This is Jesus talking, just so you can catch the depth of what he's saying. When he was leaving this earth, he said, this is Jesus talking. I'm done right here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus said, I ain't even going to lie to you. I'm going to be straight up with you. It is to your advantage that I go. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I leave you right now. This is your Jesus talking. He says, it's better for you that I go to heaven. He says, that I go away. Because if I don't go away, watch what he says. The helper will not come. He literally is pointing the church to the Holy Spirit. He says, it's better that I, Jesus, and the one that died on the cross, rose from the dead. The reason you're going to heaven is because of me. But me, your bomb.com, and everything in between, it's better that I go, because when the comforter comes. And what Jesus was saying is, because I'm man and I'm human and I'm all God and I'm flesh, I can't be everywhere all the time. But when I release and I go, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, is going to come on the day of Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's able to be with you when you sleep. He's able to be with you in the courtroom. He's able to be with you in the jail. He's able to be with you in the doctor's office. And when he hears, he's going to talk about me. And when I say in heaven, heal him, at the same time I say heal her, everybody can get healed because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is saying, do you know I'm here with you? I need you to have relationship with me, because I'm the one that feels your joy. I gotta go. Church, we've got to understand, here's what I'm leaving you. When you have relationship with the Holy Spirit, your joy will remain. Because not only that, you remember he said in verse 14 a moment ago, he says, he gives to you what is mine. He literally gives you what is mine. And in Galatians 5 and 22, let me show you this last scripture and we're gone. 5 and 22, if you could put it up there. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Love, joy. I want to pause right there. That joy that we're talking about, it's amazing we miss. Jesus says, everything that's mine, the Holy Spirit gives to you. And understanding the connection, if you want the joy of the Lord, it's in relationship through the Holy Spirit. Because it is the fruit of the Spirit. And when you are engulfed in the Holy Spirit, he will infuse your joy. And I believe that it's time for us as believers to get off depression, get out of that blackness, to get out of that hole, get out of that place of dark and not going to know if I make it. I'm going to be sad on Christmas morning because I'm all by myself. I was married 3 years ago. Now I'm in a divorce. My life don't feel the same. I don't have a job, but New Year's coming. I can't buy my kids anything. We don't have food. Life is not working out. Man, I got another doctor's appointment. Man, everything at church, I don't feel spiritually right. I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60. I should be further. I'm not